I think there can be a feeling in the Christian church and the world right now that we need to bring ourselves into the 21st century. How are we going to get people to come back to church? How are we going to increase our numbers and our membership and do more to evangelize the culture that seems in many ways to be turning away from Christ and the message of the gospel? What's the answer to bring renewal and new energy and the new evangelization in our time? There's a vast array of programs out there that have been designed and developed to help parishes put into practice the work of renewal and retooling for the mission of evangelization. I see pastors, and myself included at times, looking for this magical silver bullet that's going to bring everybody back, convert the people, and bring them back to church. Perhaps you remember Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscovering Catholicism. It was kind of popular maybe, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago. And maybe you remember the Catholicism series that Father Barron, now Bishop Barron, did. These are really great materials. They're really great, amazing works of evangelization. And yet we still haven't seen the renewal. We are still waiting for this big transformation to happen in the church. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, programs are helpful, they are, they're a good tool, but programs don't bring renewal. We aren't going to reform the Catholic Church or the world with any of these great programs alone. We need more than that. We certainly need reform and renewal, but where does it come from? How does it happen? How do we make it happen, we might say? Or perhaps that's the wrong way of putting it. Can we really make it happen? Can we convert people? Can we make Christians by getting them here to our parish? Will they become Catholic if we just get them in the doors? After all, Father Eli's a great priest. If we can just create the right atmosphere, then maybe people will want to become Catholic. No, I don't think so. We can work on our Catholicity, that's true, in our parishes, but how does renewal really happen? Isaiah the prophet speaks to us today, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor of the Lord and a day of vindication by our God." This exact passage is read by Jesus as he starts his public ministry. We hear it in Luke chapter 4. Jesus at this moment tells them he has come to fulfill this passage. And the response is really not too enthusiastic if you go and read that passage. We can ask, did Jesus bring renewal and reform in his day? I think we can say definitely he did. He intended to. But was it received? It appears that, by and large, Jesus' message was rejected by his contemporaries. So we have to be careful when we are talking about renewal and reform. What are we really talking about? What are we really trying to accomplish? Or maybe a better way to put it is, what is Jesus wanting to accomplish? Does he look for numbers? What is Jesus looking for in us? Programs don't bring renewal, though they can help. We as individuals don't bring renewal, though we cooperate with renewal. Renewal and reform come from Christ himself. But our free will remains intact. We can say no. We can say, no, I don't want that, Lord. We can resist God's offer. Very often it's tempting to try to engineer the path to renewal and reform. But if we think it's a matter of just following three easy steps, 1, 2, 3, and presto, you have a thriving, amazing parish. That's just not consistent with what we've seen in Christ's ministry or in the history of Christianity. It's individuals making a choice to accept the process of conversion. It's people who have encountered Jesus in such a way that they desire to change their lives. It's people who recognize that living in friendship with Christ and with others who are striving to be friends of Christ, this is a richer way to live. I think this is more on target of how reform has happened historically. Jesus isn't a program. So if we want to help evangelize, we should definitely look and take a lesson from John the Baptist today. I am not the Christ, he says. It's not about me. Rather, point to Jesus, not ourselves, because Jesus is the one who transforms our hearts. Through our baptism, we have the capacity to evangelize. But what that really means, by and large, I would say, is that we evangelize through living our baptism. If we live our relationship with Christ in a real way, we will become evangelists. Someone who spread the good news, the gospel, the news of Jesus. As individuals, we find renewal when we commit to the pursuit of holiness, which just means doing God's will daily and avoiding whatever leads us astray. That's something we have some say about. We can't control what others do. The only real renewal we can oversee is our own. And that consists in pursuing a friendship with Jesus in the context of communion with his church. Often it might seem easier to follow a program, though, doesn't it, than to build a friendship? If I don't like my program, I just switch to a new one. It's impersonal. It's, you know, controlled by me. Friendship is a commitment. It's hard. It's ups and downs. It's accountability. It's personal. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. The person is asking us to change. Why don't you change? Why do I have to change? By our baptism, we have the needed graces to befriend Christ. And we are brought into his family, the church. So often we want a program to fix us, don't we? A program makes renewal seem easier or more manageable. Or we want a pill, think about it in that way maybe. We want a surgery, we want some fix. Doc, can't you just give me a pill so I don't have to change the way I live? I can just keep doing what I'm doing? Just give me a pill. That would be great. Where's that pill? No, that's not how it works. Shoot. Or, hey boss, how about a raise? You know, I could use a little more money. If you work for the church, that never happens. Just be aware. Instead of working within the limits of what is given, we want the world to change for us. We don't want to change or adapt to what our circumstances are. We want our friends to affirm who we are, everything about us, and never challenge us to change. But is that true friendship? Is that true Christianity? On the level of the individual, there's no way to follow Christ if it's on our own terms. It has to be on his terms. And on the level of a parish or diocese or the universal church, it's the same thing. If we aren't willing to adapt and be transformed, then we can't be renewed. We can't be transformed. And so God patiently waits until we are ready to change. Meanwhile, we often keep waiting for something outside of us to change. We wait for the right program. We wait for the right gadget. We wait for the competitive edge, something like that. Instead of using the means at our disposal to make change in our lives and in the life of the parish, we want everything to accommodate itself to us. But that's, again, that's not Christianity. So as we celebrate the third Sunday of Advent, we do rejoice. We rejoice that God has given us the opportunity to respond in faith to his invitation, to be converted, to be in friendship with him. God never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. That's why every year we go through these seasons so that we can allow the truth and the reality of the incarnation to sink in a little deeper. We can allow the renewal and reform to happen in our own lives more profoundly. Isn't that, in the end, how true reform can happen? When we allow ourselves to be reformed. When we actually become a friend of Jesus. That's true reform. Come, Lord Jesus.